name Ramona. She kinda looks like Tempest Storm, and she danced like a little Egypt. She works down at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Ramona's got a keen sense of humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Ask Ramona how come she works there. She says, well, it's got its charm. There's nothing to do in the winter now. Then some kid gets bit at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention something. This is a sing-along. Really? It goes, snake farm, just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. It ain't exactly kumbaya, but being a music fog, it ought to be perfect. Help me now, be on tee. He said, snake farm, just sound nasty. Snake farm,
pretty much is.
Snake farm,
it's a reptile. Snake farm.
Getting into it now. Well, Ramona likes malt liquor and a band from Wales. That's called the alarm. She said she cried when they broke up. She still plays the record at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Sometimes Ramona calls me up and says, come on down here, it's getting warm. And she runs everybody off, and we, you know, it's a snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm, help me now. I said, snake farm, just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm.
There he goes, old Wiley Hubbard. The snake farm. We dedicate that to all the she-wolves out there. It's Freya's Day, Friday. Yeah, how about that? And it is the 14th of November, 2014, Freya's Day. Yeah, we like to have old Wiley Hubbard out there at Terrible Tommy Terrible Tavern. Haven't been able to sign a contract to get him out there, but we get guys who imitate him. Yeah, they imitate him. You know, I think you've been deprived, boys and girls. A while back, maybe a few years ago, I used to play more music on here, country music. Well, some of the country music you may not be too interested in, but the people over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern are. So they're going to bring back, but we're going to bring back outlaw country. Oh, you're not familiar with outlaw country? Well, that was a sample of it today there with Ray Wiley Hubbard with Snake Farm. Yeah, so if you're not a fan that don't have a funny bone, well, because there's a lot of funny outlaw music, and they don't pull any punches either. So we're going to play a little bit of that, usually one at the beginning, one at the end for a while, and see how it goes. Now, I'll tell you one thing. It makes all the people over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern happy, and it makes me happy. And I hope it makes you happy. Tell all your friends to go up to resist.com, and on the front page, we've got a little flashing sign up there that says, donate a dollar. $2, G.I., for all you guys who've been in Asia in the military. $2, G.I. Well, anyhow, we only sent us $1 to P.O. Box 401. That's to get a lot of these people that take advantage of all our good stuff up there and all our books and all our radio shows and never support us at all. You know, that's the... Now, since there's a lot of right wing go up there, I can understand that, because the right wing never really supported anything with any amount of money. Anybody in the right wing goes to jail, forget it. You know, they used to say in the old days, if your son goes to Korea, write to him. If he goes to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, pray for him. That's where I went to basic training. But that sort of links up with these right-wing penny-pinching fools that never put out any money at all. However, if somebody comes along like the Dr. Duke and people like that, they seem to have all kinds of money to give those people. Well, anyhow, I'm going to start calling myself Dr. Tom Metzger. No, Dr. Terrible Tommy. I think that might help out, huh? Well, anyhow, tell your friends to go up there. But when they go up there, send us a dollar. Send us a dollar. Maybe guys who might send a dollar might be feel chicken shit enough to send us $5. You know, that might work out pretty good. We'll see what happens. I may not get $1. I mean, we get thousands and thousands of hits on that website and almost no contributions to it at all. It's amazing how cheap these people want a revolution. They used to always say, we got to have a revolution, Tom. White people got to rise up and throw them out. Okay, well, that's going to cost you money. What do you mean, Tom? Well, we got to buy tanks. We got to buy flamethrowers. We got to buy guillotines. We got to buy federal agents off and pay them off and stuff like that. Well, how much you need? Well, it's going to cost hundreds of thousands at least to get started. What the hell are you talking about? You must be a patriot for a profit. They always told me, Metzger, you're a patriot for a profit. That's the way it goes. That's why the right wing couldn't mount a revolution if their ass was on fire. Boy, if you hear I'm a dumbass, you might as well say, yeah, you're right. Because a member of this mulatto German bitch I did an interview with that I wanted it separate, but they put me in with the KKK, you know, because that's just the way they operate. You know, I'm getting feedback on the internet from all over Europe. They're making her the queen of the May, this nigger broad that spent about an hour with me, I guess. And then she went around to all the Hollywood Klan and Hollywood Nazis and everything. And now they're treating her like a goddess from everywhere. Yeah, and you know what? Kick my ass. I didn't even charge her for that interview. I don't know what the hell was wrong with me. All of a sudden, I turned liberal, having sympathy on this mulatto babe. Oh, she was nice as you please, you know, in person. Boy, back there, she's, I stood up to the Klan and the so-called Aryans, who are not Aryans at all. I'm a bitter German, you know. Shit. I'm never going to do a documentary again. And I'll tell you one thing, because these guys, they'll tell you anything to get you to do an interview, and then they'll cut it and snip it, and like that Louis Theroux. What an asshole he was. That stuff's still going around, but surprisingly, the mop flops both ways. I've gotten quite a bit of mail, positive mail, from that Louis Theroux documentary. So, but anyhow, they're going to come around here and wanting to do another documentary. I don't think so, boys, unless that cash is really high. Boy, the right wing is turning this net neutrality thing all around and turning it upside down and actually causing things to be worse for individual people on the internet. Jones warned his listeners that allowing consumers to access any website or online service they wish without interference or additional charges from the internet service providers was some type of totalitarian scheme. Quote, this is just a high-tech version of what the Soviets and the Nazis and the Chinese communists and Fidel Castro and every other nutball did, he said. Well, I'm going to play this rant for you. He's unbelievable. You know, the right wing gets things so screwed up and turned around, it's unbelievable.
Wi-Fi that's paid for by taxpayers, but you have no rights on that Wi-Fi, and you can't get to InfoWars.com or DrudgeReport.com. That the White House officials have said they want to shut down, basically. So this is it. They're coming. Drums, drums, drums of the deep.
Go, Alex. Go.
This is just a high-tech version of what the Soviets and the Nazis and the Chinese
communists. Oh, my God, the Nazis.
And every other nutball did. Do you think they like the men that bring them to power? You think Hitler did? You think they like having you around, these little cowardly people? They hate you. They want total control because they don't like wealth. They don't like power. They don't like success. Do you think they like strong, hardcore men who've killed a bunch of people?
Not you.
You think they actually like the real instrument? They fear you. They hate you. They shake. They're going to destroy you. So you go ahead and you serve them, and you sell your family out, and you sell your name out, and you sell your soul out.
Go, Alex.
I guess they are God.
Go. Oh, man. If he wasn't such an asshole, he would be funny. He's talking about strong, tough men. He's wearing a size too small T-shirt to make him supposedly look a little tougher, but he's actually about at least 20 pounds overweight, maybe more. These guys like Alex Jones are worse, technically, than even a lot of the progressives, because they do get a lot of following from the old decrepit right wing. And it's always crisis. They're coming. They're coming. They're going to get your guns tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. He reminds me of that film Manchurian Candidate. Yeah. He's like a Manchurian candidate. He's like a Zionist candidate, this guy. He puts out a little truth and a lot of bullshit, and then he twists things around because he knows it's a hell of a lot of conservative right-wingers out there who buy his bullshit. Anyhow, that's it for Alex. You're out of here, Alex. Anyhow, when something like net neutrality comes up, look into it deeper. Read both sides and the whole bit before you come up with a conclusion. Don't get it from Alex and Scumball and what the hell's that guy, that little shrimp on Fox TV. I can't stand that little bastard. Hannity. Oh, God, Hannity. He is really a, well, whatever. You know, Alex Jones reminds me of Johnny Lee Clary. At least Johnny Lee Clary has gone to mate as Miker, that preacher bastard that was a traitor to the Klan. It sounded a lot like him. Hey, listen to Alex again. I have a lot of fun listening to Alex. I hardly ever do. But anyhow, here we go.
It's a confidence game like with a lion. The lion tamers have to act totally confident, beat that lion, keep it under submission, dominate it. Because if you ever want show fear, one time when your head's in its mouth, snap like a bear trap on your head. And you've got this little pot-bellied lion tamer with their little whip, and we're this giant 70-trillion-pound lion just, human liberty, freedom, honor, everything. And they've got this little whip with us bowing to him as he beat us.
You're
on the
You're going to have a heart attack, boy.
Sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm not afraid of them. These people will hold our species back. They will screw everything that our ancestors fought and died to survive.
What color were they?
To pass on a baton to us.
What color were they, Alex?
And I'm telling you from the foundations of the earth, these people were not meant to succeed and dominate greater men and women.
Oh.
So I'm here.
Yeah.
To beg God to give me the strength and the words to unlock the spirit of humanity.
God, give him that. Give it to him, baby.
A huge awakening to bring these people down forever.
Yeah.
And bind them for hell.
Jesus, Jesus.
Well, bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, big Obamacare is now moving to the internet.
Oh, you know, I've heard some of our people even listen to this guy. I mean, come on. If you look at him on the TV, he's almost ready to have a goddamn stroke. And I predict that they're going to carry him off to the funny farm one of these days. Another right-wing guy, like I remember in the old days, it was Peter Beter. The Russians got atomic bombs on all the bays around the country. And then it was the Chinese communists have a big army in Mexico. And the Russians are coming across the North Pole with massive numbers of troops on horses. And oh, God, I go back to all the way back through all that stuff. It went on and on and on with these right-wing hucksters. And they talk about left-wing hucksters. There's just as many hucksters on the right as on the left. And you can take that to the bank from Dr. Terrible Tommy. Don't forget, I've got a sheepskin from that church back there. What was his name? I forget his name. He's signing everybody up. And some guy sent me a certificate that I'm a duly authorized rabbi. Don't forget it, God damn it. Well, they're getting ready to vote on the tar sands pipeline, that dirty, sludgy crap, toxic crap that they want to shove down the pipe to Mexico or to the Gulf of Mexico. And they don't tell you that they're not double walling this pipe either. It's single wall like a lot of other of these pipelines are single-walled. Very easy to punch a hole in them. And, of course, your friends, the Republicans, who like war, they love war, and like my sign says out front, God bless war. Guys are almost running off the road reading that sign. Let's listen to this.
Stalled debate in Congress, a surprise comeback for the Keystone XL oil pipeline. House GOP leaders scheduling a vote for the bill on Friday. The legislation backed by Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana.
It is time for America to become energy independent.
But fellow Democrat, House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi, is vowing to lead the vote against it over exemptions to environmental protection rules. The battle over the Keystone XL is also being fought far from Washington, in Montana, South Dakota, and Nebraska, where the pipeline would stretch for more than 1,000 miles from the tar sands of western Canada, connecting with existing pipelines to the Gulf of Mexico, a project that environmentalists say is fraught with environmental hazards.
And this pipeline is scheduled to go over the Ogallala Aquifer, which is one of the largest freshwater aquifers in the United States. And so a tar sands spill could have grave impact on the water supply for the breadbasket of the United States.
But Republicans and a handful of moderate Democrats insist the pipeline would be an economic boon.
The American public stands to gain 42,000 new jobs, $2 billion in investment in the pockets of the American public.
Jack Girard is the CEO of the American Petroleum Institute, a trade association for the oil industry.
The more energy we can bring to the domestic economy, specific oil and natural gas, puts downward pressure on the cost of crude oil, thus benefiting consumers with lower gasoline prices.
Following Friday's vote in the House, the bill will move to the Senate for a vote next week. While not threatening a veto, President Obama has said his support will ride on environmental impact. Robert Bumstead, Associated Press.
Well, number one, the industry spokesman's a goddamn liar. All these jobs it's supposed to create. Number two, all the indicators that we see now that the United States is becoming has become energy independent, but tar sands oil has nothing to do with cheapening gas or making United States energy independent. It's going down to the Gulf, and then it's loaded up and it's going to foreign countries like China. It's amazing the gall of these bastards, especially the Republicans and the cowardly Democrats, of pointing out that these are lying sons of bitches. And so you got this oil sewer going all the way down through the country over the great aquifers in the Midwest. And then it's going to be sent out of the country anyhow. And he says, oh, well, just look, you want to bring gas down? You want to bring gas prices down? Deport all the fucking illegal aliens. Stop immigrating people into this country that drive cars and use gasoline and have oil heaters and all that in their house and so forth. This is all bullshit. Homeland Security's hard at it. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, sent two big-ass burly, probably guerrilla officers, into a Missouri lingerie shop, flashing their badges and confiscating two dozen pairs of panties, claiming that the boutique had violated copyright laws because KC was printed across the bottoms. Homeland Security. Didn't you always know it was a false flag? I knew it. Especially when they call it Homeland Security. Anything they call Homeland or Liberty or Freedom this or Homeland that, anything like that, you know it's a con job. It made hundreds of niggers nigger rich by giving them phony contracts all around the country. And even the blacks themselves that were involved in that admitted that on the radio, and I heard them. And they laughed about it as they screw the white man, screw the white worker, screw white small business, giving these assholes big contracts, millions of dollars in contracts handed out like candy. Let's hear a little more about this so-called homeland insecurity. Are they now America's FBI, our national security agency, our Federal Marshals Program, our CIA, the Missouri State Police? Is the DHS now so powerful as a law enforcement agency that it has eclipsed the once widely respected Federal Bureau of Investigation? Well, that hasn't been respected for a long time. And has hypnotically taken over the counterfeiting, smuggling, production, and marketing of two dozen KC panties? And did the agency defer to national spokesmen actually have the chutzpah to proclaim to the national media something like, quote, we do this all the time these days, people, so get off, unquote. Not 4 months ago, this man was driving south down Airline Drive, and I believe this is in Shreveport, and for 3 days in a row, I passed traffic monitoring, overtly marked Department of Homeland Security SUV with uniformed DHS officers at the steering wheel as I drove to work at 7 a.m. By the third day, I was growing deeply agitated at this brazen show of police state presence, as if he were a local police officer waiting to write a ticket and making the statement that he had full police jurisdiction, and seeming to say to me, quote, just get used to it, buddy. We, DHS, are the law everywhere now. Fourth morning, I had picked up my place to out my place to safely pull over beside him so I could get out of my truck and a non-threatening walk up to this driver's window and ask him what this all meant. This daily police presence by the Department of Homeland Security that felt exactly like he had just become my national police force and was flaunting it coldly to the thousands of us who passed not 10 feet from him every morning. But he was gone. Where did he go? And what was his real purpose these 3 mornings? Was he there to protect me at 7 a.m. morning for 3 straight days from some unknown terrorist danger and required his huge green-lettered marked SUV doing some very dangerous job that my local city, county, parish, or state law enforcement just couldn't handle? Still today, I have a very sick feeling about that he was not. He was there to make it known that the federal government has a new law enforcement agency in town, and they can park and enforce anywhere they want, even in a tiny panty boutique in Missouri, if that's what it takes to keep America free from international terrorists. So here is my gut feeling conclusion about the DHS Missouri debacle and the 200,000 federal employees of the DHS. The USA is moving way too rapidly towards a national police force fed by the third largest budget of all the presidential cabinet secretariats. Well, there you go, boys and girls. That's good news. That's good news. Bring it on down, you sons of bitches. Stop everybody every day. Make them get out of the car. Frisk them. Roll them around in the ditch. That's what we need to get these white people off their ass. Going to be quite interesting the first time somebody lets loose with a weapon against these guys. They're going to overreact, and that'll be good. That'll be good. Well, you know how they're yapping about the Russians bringing more and more tanks and so forth into eastern Ukraine? Well, again, a bunch of bullshit. Former Secretary Kike Henry Kissinger said something right for a change, disputes the mainstream U.S. media's view of the Ukraine crisis, noting that Russia's response was reactive to the West's action, not the other way around. But the MSN keeps up the drumbeat about Russian aggression, writes Robert Perry. The American public is faced with an information crisis as the New York Times and other mainstream U.S. media outlets have become little more than propaganda organs on behalf of neoconservative agenda, and particularly the rush into a new Cold War with Russia. So much so that even ex-Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has broken ranks. MSN articles consistently reek of bias, and in some cases make little sense. For instance, the Times correspondent David M. Hertzenhorn, one of the leading propagandists, wrote an alarmist story on Wednesday about a new Russian invasion of the Ukraine. But curiously, he had the alleged Russian tank column headed east towards Ukrainian city of Donetsk, which would be back towards Russia, not westward towards the Ukraine. According to Hertzenhorn's article, the full scope of the Russian incursion is not clear. NATO Supreme Commander General Philip M. Breedlove said, though the convoy seemed to be heading east towards Donetsk, an OSCE spokesman. Well, let's see here. We got to bring this down though so I can read it. Seemed to be headed east towards Donetsk, and OSCE spokesman Richard Berklau said Wednesday. Typical of his anti-Russian bias, Hertzenhorn also cited Ukrainian government complaints that the Russians had been using a shaky ceasefire to bolster the ethnic Russian rebels in the east. But the reality is that both sides have been accused the other of such maneuvers. Hertzenhorn surely knows this, but he wrote only, quote, Ukrainian officials have complained all along that Russia was taking advantage of the so-called truce to reinforce the rebels in eastern Ukraine with more fighters and equipment, unquote. The reality is that there has been widespread alarm among eastern Ukrainians that the Kiev regime was using the relative lull in the fighting to resupply and reposition its forces for a new offensive like the one that killed thousands over the summer. Though human rights organizations have criticized Kiev for indiscriminate shelling of cities and unleashing brutal militia forces on the population, the Times and other mainstream U.S. newspapers have either ignored or downplayed such facts. I'm not going to read the whole article, but this you should look up this Robert Perry, who writes. He's pretty straightforward and gets it right, as far as I can see, most of the time. These lying sons of bitches in the State Department, lying sons of bitches in the Oval Office, lying sons of bitches in the New York Times, and it's all liars. You know, maybe one guy telling the truth out of 1,000 liars. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I want to tell you something. When just the time you think intellectuals are very brilliant people, read this. Listen to this. The scientific solution for solving the population bomb. Paul Ehrlich, remember him? I think he's the one that wrote that book about the environment, what, 20, 40 years ago? I don't know. Anyhow, president of Stanford University Center for Conservation Biology, author of The Population Bomb, there he is, that's that book, agrees with Attenborough that humans are causing a mass extinction of life on Earth. Well, duh. I didn't need an expert from the university to tell me that. Perhaps similar to when climate and other factors killed the dinosaurs. Ehrlich claims we are capable of solving these problems if we give every woman absolutely equal rights and opportunities with men and provide them with modern contraception methods and access to abortion. Now, if you believe that, I got some goddamn good swamp land down and still in Florida, I'll sell you cheap. That might be something that a lot of people would like to see happen, but it's not going to change this population bomb. It says here, let's see. Ehrlich says that the only way we will get population shrinkage enough to avoid a collapse of the Earth. Well, how about the fact that we're feeding the shit out of the third world? Sending massive amounts of food down the Mississippi on the big boats over to all these countries. You think that's got something to do with the population explosion? We've been feeding these bastards for a long, long time. So there's no encouragement to not produce. I'm talking more about Asia then. But Africa, that's just total basket case, always was. It's a genetic evolutionary basket case. Jerry Karnes of Tucson, Arizona-based Center for Biological Diversity states, quote, "It's clear that increasing population growth makes some of our biggest environmental challenges harder to solve. But what's not needed is not population control, but a real emphasis on reproductive rights, women empowerment, universal access to birth control, and education for folks to make better, more informed family planning choices." Are you kidding? People are not going to do that willingly. They're going to do whatever they want. They want to screw, they screw, you know. It takes a police state to stop it. Now, the United States and the drug companies have been propping up the third world and causing increased population for 100 years. But you don't hear anybody talk about that because you wouldn't want to talk about limiting the non-white population of the world. My God, that would be totally anti-baby Jesus. The Earth's population reached 7 billion on or around October 31st, 2011. Estimates are there is 80% chance it will reach between 11 and 12 billion by 2100. I sort of doubt that. Our friend global warming, I think, is going to take care of that. Mother Nature is pissed off. And I think she's going to say, ha, ha, no, you're not. And the United States is not going to be able to feed the world the way they're going, the way they're depleting their land and everything else. And this country won't even be able to feed its own population, especially with 25 million more Mexicans in the country. And Chinese all poised to pour in here, too, because of his worldwide studies of wildlife, humanity, and the environment. Sir David has become active in the Optimum Population Trust, a group that advocates population limitation. What you're going to say, send a postcard around every hut in Asia and Africa. Would you please quit copulating? Would you please quit copulating? We wouldn't want to interfere with your civil rights, but you're just fucking too much, man. So, obviously, It's going to take a combination of nature and white supremacy. Yeah, we've got the military to solve that. Well, we just have to get it away from all the bullshit they're involved in and have it diverted into population control, if you know what I mean. And the white race, the Aryan race, the white supremacists have got to solve this problem. Nobody else is going to solve it. And if they don't solve it, if we don't solve it, believe me, Mother Nature is going to take you to the woodshed, and it's going to be solved, baby. It's going to be solved. And none of this coaxing bullshit. And see, the capitalists, predatory capitalists, want to sell all this stuff to a growing population. Now, you can't have it both ways. The greedy predatory capitalists want to sell all this stuff, including, baby clothes or you name it. A system of predatory capitalism could not possibly solve this situation, because it makes its money on ripping people off in the third world and all that. And I'm not even going to go any farther, because you see what I mean. Do you see what I mean? Again. It's all bullshit, and these guys, these so-called intellectuals, don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Remember, these idiot experts couldn't possibly tell the truth, even if they knew what the truth was. They'd run them out and say, "You're a goddamn racist. You're a genocidal mother. You want to kill off two-thirds of the third world." Yeah. You're out of here, man. We ain't going to pay you big money for that kind of stuff. Yeah. That don't fit the Jesus plan. Well, Branson's Virgin Galactic, building these spaceships to take people outside the confines of Earth, degenerating Earth. Well, the problem is the only people who are going to be able to afford to go are the filthy rich, where they can go to a colony off planet and screw it up all over again. Same old shit. If you had a honest national socialist type, racial socialist type program, to where people wouldn't be judged just whether they could afford hundreds of thousands of dollars for a ticket, you'd get something going. I have nothing against colonizing the planets. I think it's a good idea. But doing it with predatory capitalism? Oh, man, that's just spreading the virus throughout the universe. Well, I see that MSN, Hollywood Nazis, are getting what they want, attention, diverting a lot of people's sweat into a no-win situation. Now they've got these counter groups like Anonymous North Texas and Op Romper Stomper now of Texas. This week on Beyond the Veil, we will be discussing the eventful week that had Anonymous North Texas. As we all know, the 5th of November marked the Million Mask March of 2014, where we had some epic loots taunting the Earl Cable Federal Building, as well as dealing with real-life trolls who approach us on the street. Yeah, I bet they do. We also began the neo-Nazi hunting season with Op Romper Stomper in Rockwall, Texas, population 25. The National Socialist Movement decided to hold a rally on the front steps of the courthouse in Rockwall, Texas. They were met with counter-protests led by Anonymous North Texas, and they were joined in their protest by open carry demonstrators, right-wingers, Black Panthers, North Texas anti-fascists, Sharps, are they still around? And general attendees. These guys got a radio show. Anyhow, now we've got And this is what happens with the Klan in Ferguson, Missouri, and now the National Socialist Movement serving as stool pigeon, or whatever you want to call them, for all the creeps to attack them. Well, maybe that's a good thing. All you people out there want to be fake Nazis and run around in uniforms and be Hollywood Nazis. Just go out there and stand all over the place and let these creeps, you guys battle it out, because I've got no sympathy for either side. I don't have sympathy for stupid people and stupid tactics. Most of that stuff's up on Talk Shoe, and what's funny about it is that they advertise with these programs, and most of the advertising is benefiting the Jews, Jew merchants, Jew corporations, or at least criminal corporations, on both sides. They love it. Well, they're getting a little upset over in Greece. How about that? Athens, Greece! And the prosecutor's 697-page case file. He is known only as Witness E, a Golden Dawn ex-member turned, you guessed it, state informant. And what he has to share and blow out of proportion about the neo-Nazi political party is Golden Dawn. It's not neo-Nazi political party. Oh, the press. Unbelievable. Its ideology, its training methods, and its plans for the future is terrifying, man. Golden Dawn recruited a butcher to train its members in the art. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Hold it. Let's get back here. They recruited a butcher to train its members in the art of using a knife effectively. Well, what's wrong with that? Most people can't use a knife effectively. They're stupid about using a knife. In order to neutralize opponents. Well, if your opponents attack you and you don't have a submachine gun, you might have to use a knife. Witness E told prosecutors. That's the informant. Yeah. Party members participated in the mass slaughter of sheep in various farms around Attica region, which encompasses Athens and its suburbs, to learn the best techniques for striking directly at the jugular. Well, what are you upset? They didn't go out and kill a bunch of people. They trained, you know. If it took a few sheep, and then they cook the sheep and eat it and take the fleece and use it, what's wrong with that? It's better than the American military and some of the things they pull. He's heard... Oh, that's what he heard. Witness E said that the same butcher supplied guns to Golden Dawn members as well. Oh, well, that's too bad. So what's wrong with that? Everybody should have a gun. Well, I'm not going to be able to bring you the rest of that, because it jumps up and down. I don't know whether it's something they put on the website to do that, which I wouldn't think they would, because they probably want everybody to read it. But anyhow, it's an article about how horrible the Golden Dawn is. They're going to kill you in your bed. They never mention all the other killings that go on in Greece by the swarthy ones. They never talk about that, the other political parties. How many murders are committed by people in the other parties? And the government itself, by torturing people and then putting a Jew premier into office. Yeah. And how many of his capitalist corporatist friends are going to be having operations that are going to kill people and kill the environment and so forth? Oh, well. Metzger, you ask too many questions. Well, I'm certainly not going to defend somebody if they're actually a child molester or a child abuser, but they really make a big deal out of it over there in... I see what's going on here. Over there in... where in the hell was it? In Germany, I guess. As leader of the Thuringia Homeland Defense Group, this guy by the name of Brandt had contact with the National Socialist Underground members, Uwe Mundelos, and before they began their serial executions. Of course, we never know whether this media stuff is true or not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. News of the charges against Brandt came just one day after his handler from the Office for Constitutional Protection. I love that term, constitutional protection. And boy, they really protected it in this country, didn't they? Anyhow, had given evidence in the Shoshape trial. That's one where the alleged neo-Nazis deprived a couple of people of their lives. Prosecutors said that there was no connection to his political opinions in the present charges. That's almost being too nice. They added that Brandt, who has been in custody since June during the investigation, had cooperated with the investigation and admitted to some of the allegations. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of these groups like the Klan, National Socialists, and so forth do attract some weird people. We got to admit it. I remember when I ran the Klan, I had to run quite a number of people off because they were bad people. And sometimes in the quest to sign people up to be in your new Nazi, new Klan, new racist army, people let their guard down and let their own regulations down and recruit bad people. And when that happens, we have to admit it, and you have to get rid of them. But it's not something that doesn't happen to every other organization in the country or in the world, including the church. No, talk about child predators. There's far more child predators in the churches than you could ever find in a million years in even the right wing. Come on, baby. Well, we don't. But that's different. Love the baby Jesus, too. Maybe that's what gives them their first idea on child molesting, thinking of that beautiful baby Jesus in the manger. Well, here's a piece of good news. Ernest Kinoy, K-I-N-O-Y, who was involved in the Roots fiasco film, has died. And also, he was involved in making a movie about the problems that the National Socialists had in Illinois. Skokie, yeah. Emmy-winning writer Ernest Kinoy, who served as president of the Writers Guild of America East, which is about as far leftist as you can get, from 1969 to 71, died Monday in Townsend, Vermont, from complications from pneumonia. The New York native won Emmys for the writing the 1964 Blacklist episode of the controversial CBS drama series The Defenders, which starred George C. Scott, and for the second segment of the ABC miniseries Roots in 77. His many other TV credits included the prestigious anthology Skeens Playhouse 90, Studio One, Dr. Kildare, The Naked City, Route 66, The Untouchables. In 1970s and 80s, he wrote more than a couple of telepics, including episodes of 1978's Roots, The Next Generations. He was nominated for three other Emmys, notable for the 1981 movie Skokie, based on a march of the National Socialists in the Illinois city. Kinoy had been taken as POW during World War II and survived a Nazi concentration camp in Bergen. He's gone, baby. Now, some of the stuff he did there, I was okay. Route 66, Naked City was pretty good. Dr. Kildare was... The women all were in love with Dr. Kildare. I remember that. But the rest, he was simply a pawn of the world Zionist conspiracy. Well, here's something wild. There's a new hip-hop song out by Nicki Minaj. M-I-N-A-J-S. Misguided Nazi hip-hop. Dystopia achieves a rare feat, offending absolutely everybody. Now, in the video on this, they've got all kinds of Nazi formations and tanks and the whole National Socialist World War II genre. The star's new music video features a cartoon version of scenes straight out of Triumph of the Will, but she claims it's accidental somehow. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to play a little bit for you. Don't run out of the room screaming. Here we go.
Yo, I never fucked Wayne, I never fucked Drake. All my life, man, fuck's sake. If I did, I menage with him and let him eat my ass like a cupcake. My man fool, he just ate. I don't duck nobody but tape. Yeah, that was a setup for a punchline on duct tape. Worry about if my butt fake. Worry about y'all niggas are straight. These girls are my sons, John and Kate. Plus eight, when I walk in, sit up straight. I don't give a fuck if I was late. Dinner with my man on a G5 is my idea of an update. Hut one, hut two. Big titties, big butt too. Fuck with them real niggas who don't tell niggas what they up to. Had to show bitches where the top is.
Well, I hope you're still there. That's crazy, man. Total nigger crap with a backdrop of a super Nazi film noir layout, man. I'll tell you, it's getting wilder and wilder. She gets in trouble for that. I mean, just having that in the background. It's not even the original white Nazis. It's some kind of black Nazis and with symbols on. Anyhow, it's crazy. But she got in trouble with that. I guess the Jews got on her for that. We'll see what she says about it. Says, so what's actually going on here, Manja? I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it or not. Has rolled out a nebulous apology for the video on Twitter, claiming that A, she's not an anti-Semite because one of her best friends, how many times have you heard that, and co-creator of the video is a kike, and B, the video wasn't even inspired by Nazism. It's hard to believe that Min just signed off this bizarre animation without noticing any references to the Third Reich. The initials of her record label, Young Money, appear to be in black in a red circle, in a white circle on a red flag. And we're supposed to believe that Minja failed to recognize this as a swastika pastiche? It pains me to use that think piece stalwart, the world problematic. But unfortunately, Minja's video is exactly that. In the 50s and 60s, there was a craze for pulpy, Nazi-themed erotica. I must have missed that. Images of sexy SS women in knee-high boots were apparently just a ticket for dealing with generalized post-War II burnout. Oh, I think I did see some of those in the comic books. That was about all I could handle back then. For some, it seems that the best way to cope with the overwhelming horror of Nazism was to masturbate over it. Mensch's only video harks back to a time when the perpetrators of genocide were socially acceptable wank fodder, although I can almost guarantee that no single member of Minja's fan base is suddenly going to think that Nazism is cool. The video is still tasteless and irresponsible, flippant, and anti-kike. And we demand you take that anti-kike stuff out. No. Replace it with Stars of David, and it would go fine. Somebody mentioned this to me when I was on the road, according to the Times. Oh, wait a minute, the Times recently reported on the theft of the Arbeit Mach Frei sign at Dachau. According to the Times, this wasn't the first time this kind of theft had occurred. The sign which welcomed the doomed to Auschwitz-Birkenau was stolen, but later recovered in 2009. Such signs are artifacts rather than art. But looting a concentration camp is a little like grave robbing to the extent that it's defacing a memorial to one of the greatest atrocities in human history. The Times stated that the earlier Auschwitz-Birkenau theft had been the work of a Swedish neo-Nazi and two Polish accomplices. Now, why weren't they neo-Nazis? I don't know. Perhaps an inquiry into the intent of the earlier theft can unearth a motive for this latest crime. Well, I would just cut it up and sell it for scrap. People are out of work over there, you know. If, for example, the current perpetrators were also neo-Nazis, was the intent to remove evidence of the Holocaust the way to say a criminal removes fingerprints and even a murder weapon from a crime scene? Boy, that's stretching it. Or were they somehow revisionists? Nazis who didn't approve of the euphemistic sound of the words of the above camp. Well, our work makes you free? Yeah, to a degree, it's correct. I agree with that. You know, not necessarily under those conditions, but anyhow, in the best of all possible worlds, where a sequel to the Holocaust would someday begin again, would they have preferred the words Dante placed over the Inferno? Yeah. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Now, that probably would have fit better. Well, anyhow, somebody with a big truck, I guess, carted it off and took it down the road. But this time, I'll bet they cut it up and sold it for scrap. But I don't know. I think that was a pretty good idea. The sign that says, work makes free. Because if you don't work, usually you can't be very free because you don't have any money or anything. Well, get ready, boys and girls. They got this new book coming out, The Nazis Next Door. Yeah. And this, of course, is about the hundreds, maybe thousands of German soldiers, German scientists, and so forth, rescued from the clutches of the Soviets and so forth, and the Jews, and brought to this country because they had talents to help the country. And they did. And they lived here for, 50 years? And now they're getting all excited about them, now that they've contributed everything they could contribute, and they're old men in their 80s and 90s. The Nazis next door will open up a whole new witch hunt from the Kaikarus and their Christian buddies to grab all these old men and unceremoniously push them out of the country, or even worse. So watch it. They're going to make a big deal out of this, The Nazi Next Door. Wait a minute. I think my neighbor wrote that. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow on Saturn's Day, probably with a Sling Blade show. Yeah. And so it's 14:05. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your pie hole shut. And make sure you stay a lone wolf. We're going to close out the show with a favorite over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern called The Road Goes On Forever by Robert Earl Keane. I think you'll love it. Continuing quest of outlaw music.
She was a waitress at the Orange on Sand. She had a reputation as a girl who'd been around. Now, man, she'd had at midnight a brand new pack of cigs, a fresh one hanging from her lips, a beer between her legs. She'd ride down to the river and meet all her friends. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Sonny was a loner, he was older than the rest. He was going to the Navy, but he couldn't pass the test. So he hung around town, he sold a little pot. The law got wind of Sonny and one day got caught. But he was back in business, they set him free again. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Sonny's played it all right, don't wish it worse. Some drunk out of town put his hand up to his skirt. Sonny's taking a spooky lady, drunk out on the floor, stuffed his collar in a tip jar, walking out the door. She's running right behind him, reaching for his hand. The road goes on forever, the party never ends. was setting on them. They reached Miami Beach, they got a hotel by the water, a quarter mile beach, and the road goes on forever, and the party never ends. Unless you ran out of money, a southern little man, a new Cuban refugee, and they all got the band. Sent him at the Cubans at a high supper room with a briefcase full of money and a pistol in his boot. Cards on the table, the law pick busting in. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. The Cubans grab goodies, Sonny grabbed his jack. He broke the bathroom window, he climbed on out of the back. Shit goes bigger down on the side. Pulling all my tags, Sonny, I was preaching his ride. She stepped into the alley with a single shot for 10. The road goes on forever, the party never ends. In a new Mercedes Benz, the road goes on forever, and the party never ends.
Go Earl Keen. The road goes on forever. That's the words on that's pretty cool. I don't know if you could hear him too well, but anyhow, Earl Keen, yeah, I'm telling you, you're missing a lot if you don't come on over to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. But I want to warn you, the only thing we serve over there is home brew, down home beer, and White Lightning. None of this Panther piss you get in the bars today. It's bad for you. It's full of chemicals. Don't drink that Budweiser and all that bullshit. Drink a home brew or small brewery beer or White Lightning.